Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes...
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
This is Grafting with Grace Ann, the only place to get coverage of the best and worst plays from the most recent episode of Love Island. I'm your host, Grace Ann Parks.
Welcome back. Today, I'm going to be breaking down Hulu episode 23, which is ITV episode 21. And later in the episode, Bachelor Clues is going to come on and talk about the heart rate challenge. Basically, this morning, I woke up knowing that I had to recap this episode, and I'm like, he has never seen this before. I know that he is going to love this. He is just going to devour it. And I was not wrong. So later in the episode, he comes on and gives his raw reaction to seeing the heart rate challenge for the first time. And he definitely has some interesting experimental strategies he would want Islanders to try for the next heart rate challenge, which are very funny. So definitely stick around for that. But let's just get into the breakdown of this episode. So Molly is dumped, and it is very emotional, obviously. Whitney in an ITM is like, I think the only word to describe this is savage. I thought that was a great summation of everything. So obviously everybody's really sad, including Zach. But I did not expect Zach to leave or even think about leaving with Molly for a few reasons. One, he is already a pretty big character in the villa. He's pretty established. And also, I think it's a bit too early to be leaving with another Islander if they get dumped, just because, you know, they're not exclusive yet. They're not closed off. They're not in a relationship, nothing like that. And I just know Molly's going to come back. Like, she is. They're going to bring her back some way, somehow. And I don't know if at that point they will get back together, but it'll be interesting to see. Mitch hugging Molly and saying that he loves her so much was legit so heartwarming. I teared up. I wrote in my notes, I'm tearing up right now. It was just such a sweet, wholesome moment. I also have to say this whole goodbye montage with the girls as they're helping Molly pack and they're, you know, wiping her tears. It was so refreshing to see after all of the moments of like cattiness this season, because again, I can't stress this enough. Like, we haven't seen this much cattiness in a long time between women on Love Island. Usually they're all very supportive of each other. So to see them really hyping Molly up, helping her as she's going, was like sweet. Molly gives Zach a kiss and exits the villa, but she will be back. Mark my words. Zach pulls Katie and they finally have a chance to chat after this shock dumping. Katie immediately is just like, I'm so sorry, like hand on heart, I changed my mind three times up there. As they're talking, Zach is like, it was actually a nice surprise that you picked me. So his head is already turning. He's already, it seems like, getting over Molly, because he goes on to say, you know, it was still early days with Molly. And I'm like, bro, you said she gives you butterflies. You said that she makes you feel safe. Early days, my ass. Then the girls all have a discussion about how everybody's got to stop messing around. You need to choose your words wisely. And I couldn't agree more. Basically, this whole discussion that they're having is them being like, do not be a floater. You need to come into this with a strategy. It's morning. It's Catherine's birthday. We get this very disappointing conversation with Ty and Ella. Ty says he misses the game. And this was my error of the game. I mean, do I really need to explain why? What game? You're playing it right now. You're still in the game. Like, he's going about this in such a douchey way. Ella, honestly, at this point, just needs to find somebody new. When Ella tells the other girls about her conversation with Tyreek and him saying that he misses the game, they all have the correct reaction. They're like, are you kidding me? Whitney's like, you can't be that girl. And I could not agree more. We go to Sammy and Mal, and Sammy says that how he feels about her in 3 days is stronger than how he felt with Jess in 2 weeks. Dude, these guys are such douche canoes, like, ugh. And also this little line from Sammy about feeling more for Mal in 3 days than he ever did with Jess in 2 weeks. Like, tell me this is gonna be a clip during movie night without telling me this is gonna be a clip during movie night. You literally just gave the producers exactly what they wanted on a silver platter. Catherine and Whitney agree that Zach is back to normal less than 24 hours after Molly's shock dumping. And Catherine's like, yeah, he's gone back to Zach day two. And out of anyone, Catherine would know exactly what that looks like. So I had to bring Bachelor Clues in for the heart rate challenge because he has never seen this before. We are getting his real raw reaction. And he just watched it. So first off, before we get into it, what are your thoughts, Clues?
First of all, thank you for texting me this morning to make me watch this. It was very informative. You know, I compare all games to the game that spawned all the other games, which is, of course, our beloved game. We're talking about The Bachelor.
Correct.
You're watching the heart rate challenge, and the first thing that enters my mind is, oh, this is a different skill set. This is this is a sub sport within Love Island that I believe no Bachelor player would excel at least from what I've seen, from what is presented in the document of our beloved game. We are looking at least for the women, I thought, you know, we'll get into the specifics, I guess, but almost all of them were professional level exotic dancer skill set. This is stuff you will see in Las Vegas strip clubs. They all are doing it. They all are at that level. This is practiced. These women are fucking good at this.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, it has results. I mean, I will also say the format of the show, of the subsport, is very interesting because it has there's an element in it that is very much like Bachelor Lie Detector group dates, where the producers can manufacture the outcome any way they want. So whose heart rate got boosted by who the most? The producers just say whatever the fuck they want to set up certain situations. It would be much better if they had the sensors on their bodies and literally let us see a computer readout as it's happening so that they can't fuck with it. You know what I mean? Because I am curious about the reality of it, which I don't think we got.
Well, I do think some of them, like, for example, Jess's heart rate was raised the most by Medi. There's no, like, if they really, they've been centering these past few episodes around Jess, whether she wants to be with Sammy or Mitch, sure, because she can't couple up with Sammy anymore. Medi has nothing to do with any of it. So I'm like, maybe that is what it actually was in her case. Like, why wouldn't
or
they either give it to Mitch?
Give her an inert response so that that love triangle can keep going in exactly the same way.
That's true.
There's also something I just immediately am always thinking about strategy with these things. So if you're trying to raise someone's heart rate or whatever, how is it determined? Is it the average heart rate or is it spikes? Are they looking at peaks and valleys? Like if they have a 2 second spot where their heart rate is through the roof, is that raised the most? Even if over the course of the average of that person's performance, maybe it isn't raised the most.
I believe because at the very end they say overall the hearts were raised the most by the girls. I believe that's the spikes and who stayed at those spike levels the longest. So the girls were able to make the guys have the highest heart rate.
If it's just a matter of hitting the peaks and the valleys, there are a million strategies that I don't know if any of them were implemented. One, say something absolutely fucking insane. Whisper in their ear the most sexually graphic content you can come up with. You'll get a fucking spike. Do something like, you know, pinch them really hard. Ow! Oh, shit! Do something bizarre that's not even sexual. That'll raise your fucking heart rate. There's a million fucking bring an ice cube in with you and slip it down the back of their pants. There is a million things you could be doing to raise heart rates. If that's the game, a lot of strategy was left on the table here. Never even
What
used.
Did you think of Medi's approach, though, of just kissing Terrible. Everyone? Terrible. I know, same. What but, the
there
hell?
There were a couple of the guys that were bad. The only bad woman I thought was Mao. She seemed like not into it and was kind of laughing the whole time. All of the other ones, I was like, Jesus Christ, they could be making $10,000 a night in Las Vegas. It was
all of the guys before this challenge, they were in the dressing room. And I believe, like Tyreek said, it's going to be even crazier because they all can dance. So they all know that all these girls have some. I know that Leah is actually a professional dancer, but the rest of them just, they have it.
My question, I guess, is this. The things that were popping in my head as watching it. A, was this in season one?
This was not in season... This started in... If I'm wrong, you guys can crucify me, but I'm almost positive it started in a season three.
Okay, so season three, the producers are like, we need to basically just get the women lap dancing all the guys. I mean, it was crazy. It was even set up like a... At least like you see in the movies, with an exotic dancer's routine where they come out and they do kind of a general little dance in front of the people that gives you an idea of whatever the motif of their character is. Some of them, like some of the guys were firefighters or boxers, and some of the women were like angels, and there was a military.
Or Medi was a BDSM vampire.
Some of them didn't have a clear concept. They were just like whatever's in the costume closet. But it seemed like in that first iteration, if you remember the season three one that you're talking about, were they all at this level?
They were. Here's the thing. They, you know how Mal didn't go to any of the boys at all?
Yes. Yeah.
That I believe that there were more players who were doing stuff like that. They were a little more shy and they would only go towards their match. They would only like do sexy things for their match. But honestly, like, in the past few seasons, it's all been this sexy, like always. Okay.
Because the players now know coming into the game, we're going to have to do this. So when you get the call, you're going to be on Love Island, you start learning how to twerk immediately if you don't already know how to. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And I mean, that
and you want to know something. I think you would like this. 1 year, they had in the middle of the heart rate challenge. So, for example, all the girls had gone, and then they had a brand new bombshell show up as the last addition in the heart rate challenge. Okay. It was so good because everybody was like, who is this? Like, everybody's heart rate, boys and girls.
Has anybody ever dominated it? Has anybody ever been the person that raised everyone else's heart rate the most across the board?
it's never been like all or nothing. I know there have been some who like almost every single guy, but there still was like one outlier. Mm. But no one has ever like completely dominated it. So that's still
it's on the table.
A goal.
Somebody will make that history. And I'm telling you, if anybody out there who's thinking about going to Love Island is listening to this, your strategies, if this is to even be believed, which I don't think it is, I think the producers are just writing down whatever the fuck they want. Just like in the lie detector. That's what I'm telling you. It's like,
but then why even put the bands on them and the heart rate stuff?
There are people who watch it that believe all of this is real.
I know, but it's like, if
it's for the illusion, you see.
I agree, though, that they should just put like a screen there so everybody can see it for like proof. I think that's a fantastic idea. Dang it. They should do that.
Or at least show them the video of the screen afterwards so that it's not maybe influencing whatever's happening. But the fact that they do it like this, where it's like, okay, you come out and you do your lap dances and then later on somebody has to read a card about who got the biggest heart rate from which person, shit, it's all fake. Or at least some of it is. Like maybe some not of all it. Of it is, who the fuck knows,
yeah.
But where are these heart rate readouts?
I know. They should have them, but of course they don't.
Yeah. But no, it was a fascinating piece of the mini game, and it really does just put right on display for you the difference between a game like this, like Love Island and The Bachelor.
Yeah.
The Bachelor is, although it attempts to be like sexy and hot and all this shit, it ain't on this level. It's not even close.
Right.
It's very...
They're putting people in churros, in human churros on Bachelor in Paradise. That's the sexiest they can get. Like,
yeah. And when there is a voluntary nudity player like a Kenny Brash or something, it's a black box over the genitals, over the crack. This show, the exact opposite. You're getting super close-up, slow motion shots of asses jiggling and fucking hips gyrating and shit like this. It was great. I really loved it. And it, like I said, tonally, it separates this show out. From shit like The Bachelor or really any other dating show. I guess Fuckboy Island has elements of this kind of salaciousness as well.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But I was so... People had been asking, like, please get clues to watch the Heart Rate Challenge just because they were interested in what you thought of it. But let's just quick go into it.
Sure.
So first off, Jess goes in. She has a little tiny cheerleading outfit. Hot.
Her performance was the first one I've ever seen in a heart rate challenge. I've never seen any of this before. So that was my entry to this. And I was like, immediately, I was like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Is she going to be naked in like 10 seconds? What is going on here? It was very shocking, to say the least. But yeah, I thought she did a fantastic job. She was...
You didn't think she was
going to
do a cheer routine?
Performer. No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
Well, even the outfit that she comes out in, I'm like, what the fuck? This is like, is more of that coming off? That's barely an outfit as it is.
I'm just imagining you being like, okay, what's this heart rate challenge? Okay, sitting down, watching it, turning it on and being like, wait, what's about to happen here?
No, I understood very quickly what it was all about. there's not a lot left to the imagination. But I thought she did great and really set the tone for... I kind of half expected the rest of the players to come out and not be as good as she was.
Oh, interesting.
At that level, because I was like, how can you fucking top that? It literally looked like you're watching a movie set in a strip club.
Oh, yeah.
It was like that level of performance. And then, as we find out, every woman basically is on that level doing the exact same thing.
Like, and also, can we just talk about Montel's face play throughout this? He's the one that's just... I loved it. The many faces of Montel. I was living for it.
And I got to say, Sammy, who I have not liked up to this point, his ITM reactions to this won me over. After Jess's performance,
tasty.
They cut to him. Yeah, tasty. That shit made me laugh so hard. Tasty.
I agree. He also, like, again... I call Sammy out on his errors. Not only was he good in his ITMs, but when he came out, I was like, okay, what he lacks in intelligence, he obviously makes up for in that body oddy. Oddy. Okay.
They all were similar bodied, I thought. I thought all the guys and the girls were like, okay, they're all 10s.
Well, but it's like, There's like a 6-pack, and then for some reason like there's an 8-pack as well, and then like a 12-pack, and it felt like Sammy
I don't,
was.
I guess I don't discern. Once you're able to have a visual pack, it's 6, 8, or 12. I think in my opinion, you're in the same category. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah.
Now, one thing I will say, in terms of physique, of the guys in Love Island versus Bachelor, I don't know if this is true or not, but in my mind, I did notice the guys in Love Island don't look like they're using steroids quite as much as the Bachelor guys.
I agree.
Musk, not a lot of ask.
I totally agree. And you know what's interesting? The first season, it was not like that. Everybody was roided the fuck out. Vascularity on high, on fleek. Yeah. Like, woo. But now, yeah, I think that they really are. A lot of them, actually, it makes sense because a lot of them are have like personal trainer businesses on the side and stuff like that.
Sure. Huh. All right.
Yeah. Next was Ella. And first of all, that outfit, her outfit was my favorite out of all the girls. Like the purple feathers and then the green bejeweled thing. I mean, okay, she's drop dead gorgeous. They all are. But I mean, Ella, that outfit. And I just have to say here, Ella killed it so much that Tyreek is so dumb for saying earlier in this episode, which Clues didn't see, but he literally says to Ella's face, "I miss the game." Like, I miss the game of, you know, being single and getting a new girl every night. To Ella's face. I'm like, do you miss the game now, buddy?
By the way, he's playing the game. What game does he miss? He's literally playing the game.
Exactly.
Huh. All right.
Then we get Whitney. And, okay, I just got to say, I was surprised that she didn't make a joke out of it. She actually, like, took it seriously. And I laughed so hard when after she was done, Mitch yells out, "Hey, yo, Whit, let me chat to you." Yeah. The guys were very surprised by her.
Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with Me Undies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about. But I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pays Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Yeah, I really liked all their reactions and stuff. This whole sequence, which was over the course of three portions, there was a women's portion, a men's portion, and then the results portion.
Right.
It was all just so fucking fun and lighthearted.
Right?
And yes, they're doing these strip routines basically, but it's not done in a way that is like demeaning or anything in any way. It's very celebratory of each of the players. All of their reactions are positive to all of the performances.
Yes, even and the Mal's, girls are cheering on
bad.
The girls.
Yeah.
Girls cheering on girls, boys cheering on boys. Everybody is like supportive of each other. Like I really love that part of it because again, it makes it so much more fun. Then we had Leah was great. I just thought it was kind of like, okay, another good one. But then we had Mal. Here's the thing. I don't know what she was doing. It looked like she was having fun at least, but like, do something. She kind of went down on the ground and then came back up, did a little cat thing, and then just walked off.
She was very clearly kind of embarrassed and didn't want to be there and was laughing through the whole thing. It reminded me very much of like when your shy friend is like, fine, I'll sing one karaoke song. And then they get up there and they just are like laughing through the whole thing. And you're like, put some fucking soul in it. Jesus Christ. But
But the thing is, she's not shy. She's so obviously the most charismatic person in the villa right now, which made it so interesting.
I think she's my favorite player for sure this season.
Okay. Love this. Yeah. Love this revelation. Catherine. Mm-hmm. Catherine 8. Oh my goodness. My favorite performance personally out of everybody's. Like
okay. And why was that? Give me the details of why you loved
Catherine. I think it's also because she put so much enthusiasm into it, and again, the guys were not Catherine's this chill, laid back girl. She comes out, she's twerking on everybody. She's like, I mean, obviously they all were, but like Catherine surprised the boys. The boys were very surprised by her. Yeah. And then in her ITM straight afterwards, she's like out of breath, still in her little lace mask. And she's like, you know what? I love that.
Yeah. She came out of her shell. She said she loved teasing all the guys. I think like there's a kind of hidden possibility in this challenge, which is you can up your persona. Like if you are a shy type player, you can come out of the gate swinging in this heart rate challenge and be like, whoa, what the fuck? And I feel like that surprise can almost position you as a new player, and it can make all the other guys or all the other girls, whoever you're doing the performance for, it can make them see you in a new light and like up your ante, raise your stakes a little bit in the game.
That's what I felt like she did. And that's I think that's why it was my favorite. We have Katie repping the military industrial complex. Cool. I was a little underwhelmed. I was like, dude, you just got in here. You're the big, she could have done better. Again, she looked great. She performed great, but I was like, I was expecting more. Come on.
There's also stuff that's like, I don't know, you know, how much liberty you're given with your performance. Or do the producers tell you can go out,
do kind of a dance, and then you have to give lap dances to each one of the people individually. Could she have?
Or no, she could can anyone... do whatever you want. Again, Mal didn't do anything, and I'm pretty sure the producers weren't like happy about that. But like, she was allowed to do whatever she wanted.
Interesting. Could you arrange all the guys in a kind of group format and perform for all of them simultaneously?
Wasn't that what they're doing?
No, the guys are each kind of sitting by themselves. I think there are.
What
like,
would you want her? What I'm curious. What are you? What's in your head right now? What are you thinking up?
Well, this is one way to get heart rates going. Okay, this is just an experimental strategy for anybody who's out
okay,
there.
Okay, we're listening.
Let's say she would have come out, and she's doing a lap dance on one guy, and then she reaches over and grabs another guy while she's still in that guy's lap and kind of scoots him over. So now you got two guys sitting next to each other. Then she leans in. And she puts both of their heads close, and she's like about to kiss one or both of them. And then she pulls back, smashes their heads together, makes the two guys kiss. Their heart rates are going to go through the fucking roof, and you're going to win the goddamn game. And so are the other guys, because they're like, is she about to do that to me? Holy fuck.
You know what? I got to say, they do three-way kisses on Love Island. Like, that's on the Truth or Dare challenges. They'll have, like, two guys or two girls and a guy do a three-way kiss. Now I am wondering, can they combine two guys like that, or are they keeping them separate so that they can monitor the heart rate separately? I don't know.
Like, well, they're not monitoring the heart rate, but that's a lie of this.
I think they are, but they're not giving us the actual results.
Okay, maybe that's true. I have no idea, but I would, if I had to bet money on it, there are no heart rate numbers. What I think, though, is that they probably have a very, I mean, as you saw in this, they have a very specific way that they shoot this. So they know where the cameras are placed. And I think they probably tell each of the leads to come out and go from one guy to the next or one girl to the next so that they can shoot it properly and edit it as you saw it edited.
I do think that is the reason, but your idea is still a good idea. And I just want to validate that.
Oh, thank you for the validation.
So next we go with the boys. The boys are performing, and first up is Tyreek in his shiny little boxing uniform.
Yeah.
It's fine, whatever.
He did all right.
Yeah. And okay, when Montel came out, at first I literally was like, "Oh, he's so cute in his little black outfit." And then he ripped it off, and I was like, "Okay." I was expecting a cute little like a performance, but he was giving. Body.
He was giving the giving thing. What I forget which player started it in the season.
Whitney
is just saying that constantly, giving that. There was at one point they had an ITM of her, and she just said, "It's giving." She didn't fucking put any qualifier on that. Just "it's giving" as a phrase by itself.
I even think in one episode she said, "It's giving," and that made me laugh. So
that is great. Like that's funny.
So then after, Montel, Scott was, again, all the ladies said it, and I totally agree. Scott was the dark horse. At first, I thought it was going to be kind of a fool thing because they were like, he was in that red thing. But then, I mean, he was like grabbing the girl's hands and putting the hands on his abs and all this kind of stuff. I was like, okay. And then we had Mehdi, aka the BDSM vampire.
I thought his was the worst performance. There was nothing.
Absolutely.
He just like forcibly made out with each woman one after the other.
Except for Ella, Mal, and Katie. They were just like, they either like did
turn their back or whatever. Yeah. Some wouldn't allow it.
It was so dumb.
Yeah. And it was also just like, there's no, once you go to the second person and start making out with him, it's like, oh, he's just going to do this to all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was terrible. Terrible. But he did get at the end in the results. He got somebody's heart rate going the most. Was it Jess?
Only Jess's.
Yeah.
But Jess even was like, because she was the second one for him to kiss. Mm-hmm. And she even said, she was like, well, yeah, because I had no idea. Like, he just came at me and I had to. Ugh. So I think that was kind of like the heart rate went up just because of the shock, not because it was sexy. Then Zach in his fire uniform. Ooh, sign me up. My house is on fire right now. Zach, please come help. Please.
I like that it's getting you. Like, you're fucking way into this shit.
Oh my gosh. I'm so into it. And let me just say, again, I know I've been hating on Sammy, not hating, but just very much pointing out his errors and being a little frustrated with him, rather. But like, I know you think all the bodies look the same, but his was like, maybe it was more oiled up than the others. Yeah,
he had a higher pack rank than the other packs.
Yes, and the packs were more defined. Not that the others weren't. I mean, it just was a little bit more chisel. Just a little bit more chisel. Yeah.
So you're looking at this to some degree with the eye of like a bodybuilder competition judge. You're looking at their physiques in a way that's like, he had a slight more muscularity, a little bit more definition. Therefore, he's a better player in this.
You know what? I didn't think of it that way, but because that is so hilarious, yes, that is exactly how I was thinking. But no, it's more of like who's the hottest in my eyes. But
oh, I see. So this is just purely subjective. You're not gauging this on like objective criteria.
Except for like Medi. Medi's was just a bad move because like you don't want to be, you want to focus on your connection the most, your partner the most at the end of the day. Like that's what they all did.
Well, yeah, but there's also a strategy to kind of ignore your partner a little bit and get them a little bit jealous and tease them a little bit. There's many strategies.
Does jealousy
that I think
make
can
the heart rate go up?
Fuck yeah. Anger?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anger. Oh,
yeah. Ask my dad.
So Mitch is the last one, and he comes out in a plumber uniform because he is a plumber. So that
oh, and
it's
that's
topical.
His real actual job.
Yeah, that's his actual like job.
And Medi is not really a BDSM vampire?
No, that is his actual job as well.
Most French people, I think, are that.
Correct. Who date 42-year-old women
and school teachers,
their professors.
And yeah, all kinds of shit.
No, but he comes out in a plumber uniform and then he slams two plungers on each side of him. And then, listen, as much as I was giggling during his performance, I was also like, okay, like some of his moves impressed me. And listen, I do have a soft spot for Mitch. I do have like maybe a little crush and maybe that's why I'm saying this, but his moves did surprise me. He was very bold. I was not expecting him to be bold. No. I was expecting him to just be funny, but he wasn't.
What was his pack rank?
It's a soft six, but that's a good thing in his case. I wouldn't want him to have a hard six.
Interesting.
It wouldn't look good on him. I do not think so.
Okay.
Whereas Sammy, I was like, okay, he's got a hard eight, and like I'm jiving with it.
Okay.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So we get the results, and Ty's heart rate was raised the most by Ella. So they're in a couple. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. Mitch's heart rate was raised the most by Jess. Zach's heart rate was raised the most by Leah. I found that very interesting. Medi's was raised the most by Catherine. Scott's was raised the most by Ella. So Ella has two already. Montel's heart rate was raised the most by Leah. Leah has two now. And then Sammy's was raised the most by Jess. So Jess has two. So it was Ella, Jess, Leah, and Catherine who all, none of the other girls were in that. Yeah. And then Leah's heart rate was raised the most by Tyreek. Ella's heart rate was raised the most by Zach. Mm-hmm. Whitney's heart rate was raised the most by Zach. Catherine's heart rate, Katie's heart rate, and Mal's heart rate were all raised the most by Sammy. And then Jess's was randomly raised the most by Mehdi. And then overall, the girls were able to raise the heart rates the most, more than the boys. Whatever, so the girls means. Won overall.
Yeah. You know what you could do, experimental strategy?
What?
You come out, you do your general dance, and then instead of going to each of the individuals, you take your pants off and just take a shit right there in front of everybody, asshole pointed right at them. So they're forced to watch it. All of their heart rates through the roof.
I think, you know what? I feel like now that you've watched this challenge, I have a feeling that things are going to come to you throughout the coming months and weeks where you're going to be like, wait, I have another heart rate challenge idea that they could do.
Yeah.
And
come out kind of like frantic, like that you're not into it at all, and just be crying like, oh my God, guys, you're not going to believe this. One of the other players, whoever, somebody they haven't seen yet, just passed out. I think they're dead. We need help. We need help. Someone. You just start yelling. Everybody's like, what the fuck? Heart rate's through the roof. Through the fucking roof. You win every time.
Oh, I love it. They need to be doing some more experimental plays in this for sure.
There's a lot of play to be done in this game. Look, I've seen now three episodes plus this of this season, plus the heart rate challenge. There is a lot of gameplay, a lot of strategy that I think is left on the table. And I know this is what, season 10 you're saying of it, right?
Yeah.
So it's been around for a fucking minute. By the time you were in you know what though? By the time you were in Bachelor 10, you didn't have strong play yet. That was fucking Baldwin season. Just a snoozer of a season, but like those players weren't fucking playing the game yet. And then also I'm going to make a different point. By Bachelorette 10, you did have some very high level play, of course. You know who I'm talking about? The great one, Nick Vial. That was his rookie season. So at least in Bachelorette 10, you had the greatest player of all time playing.
Did you
game.
See we are in a article with Nick Vial. He's being interviewed by Time Magazine. And the art of this is a bunch of Bachelor podcast cover art. It's us, Caitlin Bristow, Dear Shandy, and like one other one. But we're in there. And basically That's Nick cool. is giving this interview on why people listen to Bachelor podcasts but don't watch The Bachelor, and like he's the fucking expert on that. And but we're in that same, they mention us in this article where they're interviewing Nick, so we're getting closer.
We're getting closer to being on the Great Ones podcast.
Yeah, very, very close.
I can't wait.
Yes, but
thank you. If you're listening, Great One, we're ready.
Yeah, he's listening to Crafting with Grace Ann.
You never know, maybe Natalie Joy's a big Love Island UK fan. Never know.
Hey, you know what, you never know.
That's her dirty, dark secret from him, is she's in the pit. She has, like, all the merch. She's fucking has a secret closet that he doesn't know about that's all Game of Roses shit.
She's been to both the book signings, but she disguised herself as someone different.
She was, like, the 100-year-old lady just in the back with sunglasses on and a giant
Yes.
wig. Who is that lady? She's showing up at all our events.
She's Natalie Joy. She must be a big fan. Yep. But thank you for joining me for the heart rate challenge.
Please.
I know.
Thank you for texting me and asking me to watch it. I absolutely fucking loved it.
I knew you would.
You know, I just. Here's the thing.
Okay. What is it?
I don't have the time to do it, but I am wanting more and more to watch this entire show and to fucking go back and watch all the old seasons. I can feel it starting to percolate, and I just don't have the fucking time. I just don't have the time. That's where it hits that wall where I'm like, I can't fucking commit to this.
But there
I can
will
do
be
about
other
what
things
I'm doing
that
now.
Will ease up, you know, other things.
There ain't. Shit ain't going to ease up for another 50 years for me at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Well, one can hope, but at least you're getting little tids here and there, little juicy tids.
Yeah, this was very good. If there's anything else like this, please hit me up. That is like a mainstay staple kind of mini game within the game or whatever. I'm always happy to look at these things.
People really want you back for movie night as well. And I also think it would be good to have you and Lizzie back for that, because that one is like, it's truly genius what they do on that episode. And I think you will appreciate it just as much as I do.
If I understand it correctly, they play footage from that season that will contradict lies or whatever people might have said. And it reminds me very much of an old show that I loved that was only two seasons, and then they made a couple other like catching up with the players now type seasons. It's called Breaking Amish, and I believe it was on TLC.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's like 10 or 12 years old, this show. The premise of it was a bunch of Amish late teens, early 20s kids leave their Amish community. It's not quite Rumspringa. It was just like this little group of them were like, we want to go try living in New York was the first one. And then the second one was L.A., I believe.
Oh.
But they were like not savvy to how reality TV works. So in one of the seasons, one of the girls winds up having a threesome with another one of the girls and a guy. She comes out of the experience, immediately regrets it, and then blames it on them, basically saying she was coerced into this, and goes to the fucking cops.
What?
Yeah, basically accuses them of sexual assault, and they're both like, she wanted to do it, like, we don't know what to say. And the producers had to step in and show footage of it to the police to exonerate them from this accusation.
Whoa.
And the girl at that time, like, I don't think she understood.
Right.
They're shooting all of this. You can't lie about it. And so she had no kind of foresight or wherewithal about the fact that the footage can be used to show exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that, you know, on
what
this
happened show, to her? Did she?
Nothing. It was like kind of all smoothed over.
Whoa.
But she was like kind of she was made into a villain after that for the rest of the
season. Well, I mean, did she go back to being Amish?
I don't remember if she did or not. A lot of them did. There was one girl from season one who became a model, and I don't believe she went back.
Okay.
But a lot of them did, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So that was interesting, though.
Just a component of reality TV that I assume all these players are aware of if they've watched multiple seasons.
But again, this was recently introduced in season 7, 2021. This was introduced. And oh my goodness, that first like time when it's introduced, these Islanders think they know everything like about like the challenges and everything. And then all of a sudden they're like, movie night. I remember that episode when it first premiered. The Islanders thought they were like legitimately going to watch a movie in the middle of the villa, because they did give them snacks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a type of a movie, that's for sure.
Man. Yeah, I'm happy to come back for that for sure.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you again to Clues for coming on last minute on a Saturday to talk with me about the heart rate challenge. His reaction was everything I wanted and more. But before I go, let's get into those gains. Your top three Instagram gains for July 1st, 2023 are Katie McDermott takes the top spot, gaining 100K followers for a total of 1.3 million. Can I get a wow-wee? Molly's in second, gaining 11K for a total of 244K. And third is Ella, who gained 7K for a total of 111K. Your top three Instagram chart is Katie, 1.3 million, Molly, 244K, Jess, 124K. And lastly, your top three TikTok is Katie, again, at the top with 964.3K. Molly is in second with 845.3K. And Ella is in third with 55.3K. This has been Grafting with Grace Ann.